So, Father, we just come to you tonight, and we just thank you for just guiding and directing us, and guiding and directing just our lips and what we bring forth tonight, to let it edify you and let it edify each other. Lord, we just thank you for just all that you're doing in all of our lives and in this fellowship. And we thank you for this time to come together and just be in one accord and just share just truths and testimonies and just the goodness that you provide. And we praise you for that, Lord. And we just thank you. We just bind up just any principalities and powers that would just try to cause any distractions or, you know, bind up anybody. And we just ask, Lord, that you just open up our hearts and open up our minds we just give tonight to you. And we just ask you just bless this night in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, so let's go ahead and ask if anybody needs prayer or would like to pray for somebody or have anything they'd like to pray about.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Michael Levesque. How you doing, buddy?
How are you? Could you pray for Sue? She's getting some sciatic stuff, and she can't even sit down, so she's in bed right now. But if you would pray for it, I'd appreciate it.
All right. Well, let's put our faith together for Sue. So, Father, we just come together and we just put all our faith together. And we just lift up Sue to you. And she's dealing with some sciatic nerve things, and you know what's going on. You know what's causing it. You know what the situation is. So we just take authority over this sciatic nerve. We command it to relax in the name of Jesus. We command the pain to go in Jesus' name. Whatever's, you know, hindering it, we call it healed. And we just thank you for just total restoration. We just rebuke pain off her now in Jesus' name. And we just thank you that it is done, and it was done at that cross. And we praise you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise your Father.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else?
Tim?
Hey, Judy.
Yeah, I've got a friend, and they're living in Florida right now for the winter, and I'd like to pray for him because doctors just told him he had bladder cancer and that he's going to need surgery and chemo. So, dear Heavenly Father, I bring John Martin up to you right now because you know that the doctors are saying the bad report of the bladder cancer, but you know, Father, you know that what it is and what's going on with him because you know the end from the beginning. And Lord, I command that bladder cancer to leave John now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for doing this great work in him. And then all the doctors and all the people, everybody will know that it's your work and not the doctor's work that's doing this. So thank you, Lord, in advance. And I praise your name for taking this bladder cancer away from John. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that John is healed and you get
yes.
The glory. We just praise you for that. We just thank you for that. Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Want to pray?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I would like, Michael and I, we've been praying for my mother. We just found out that she went to hospital yesterday for some, I guess an annual blood test or whatever. And so they kept her in last night, and she's spending the night there again tonight. And my brother told me it's just precautionary measures. They just want to check a couple of things that that they're concerned about. And she hates hospitals, and but there she is. So if the UBM Saints would agree for however the Holy Spirit leads me to pray for my mother, I'd appreciate it.
Amen. Do you want to go ahead and pray, and we'll just put our faith with you?
If I start praying, it'll be about an hour long, and we've been praying. So if you guys want to pray, and you can do it over the phone or individually later, I just appreciate your prayers.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep her in prayer. So, Father, we just thank you for just working in Angie's mom, and we just thank you that you know what's going on. We just come against the bad report. We don't know what that is. You know what that is, but we rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. We forbid it in Jesus' name. We come against fear and anxiety over her right now. And Lord, whatever's got these doctors stirred up, we just call everything to be null and void, and we just call the spoken curse down in the name of Jesus, and we just thank you for this miracle, Lord, and we just put our faith together with Michael and Angie. We just thank you for just the testimony to come forth. And we praise you in Jesus' name that there's nothing wrong, and we don't believe any bad report, and we forbid it in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, and if just keep her, if she comes to your thought, just pray for her, and we'll just lift her up. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Who else would like to pray or needs prayer? Thank you, Lord. All right. How about just any testimonies, anything that you'd like to brag on the Lord about?
Yeah, Jim.
Hey, Michael.
Oh, this is Dave.
Oh, Dave. I'm sorry.
I would just like to share what the Lord's done for me since I left Madisonville.
Okay, awesome.
I left, I think, about April Fool's Day. And just prior to that, Michael and David had baptized me in the big bathtub on Sunshine Mountain, and the last thing I remember hearing is, "You hold him down and I'll put my foot on his neck." And I thought, my word, I'm never coming out of this tub. And anyway, this long story short, I did end up coming back to Minnesota, that's where I'm at now, in Minneapolis. And I've had to just operate solely on faith to get an apartment. I was staying with a sister for 6 months, and God bless her soul, she was very generous. And now I have my own apartment on the 14th floor, very reasonably priced, and all because of the Lord. Yeah, it's no ifs, ands, ors about it. The Lord has been truly answered my prayers. He has given me joy. I'm in an apartment building where there's every race, creed, color, and I personally thrive on that. And I feel like the Lord sent me here to be a humble servant and to learn from other people. And I can't say enough about how good the Lord has been to me. And the things that I learned when I was with the ministry keep coming back and keep coming back. And I just praise God that, it wasn't like I came down and I didn't know what to expect, really, when I came down to Madisonville. And, man, all that stuff keeps coming back to me. David, you know, this, and you got to have patience, and you got to believe, and you got to have faith. And I go, okay, Lord, I'm trying. And bit by bit by bit, my faith and my trust and my love for the Lord has just gone through the roof. It's just unbelievable. I cannot believe it. Yeah, I'd like to say a shout out to anybody that, you know, that remembers me when I was down there, because I remember them and have them in my heart. And so, a shout out to Madisonville and to UBM. David and many people said, you know, well, we're involved with this because there's nothing like it in the world. Well, amen, there isn't. There isn't. You know, I don't even try to, because everything I've tried to, Bible studies or churches or whatever, it's just like, no. Just go back to your Bible, David, you know. Go lay by your dish, so to speak. I just can't, you know, it's just blowing my mind on a daily basis. And I live day to day, and the Lord and I talk day to day, and we sing together, and it's just so marvelous. It's just so great. And I just hope and wish or pray for that for everyone, to reach that point where there is no question, there is no maybe, there is no doubt. Oh, excuse me, Tim, I had to turn down the stereo. You know, listen to Robin Mark. I love that guy. You know, I know that there's a lot of his songs in your songbook, and what a great guy. But truly inspired by the Lord. But, yeah, I am doing what I like to do. I just signed up for a video sound course at the local. It doesn't cost me anything because I'm almost as old as Michael. Michael Hare or Michael Lebeck, you know, take your pick. But it's free, and free is a very good price. And it's something I want to do. I think the Lord is blessing it. Where I'll use it, I don't know. I am a very competent still photographer, but it also, my camera has video capability, so the Lord said, well, go for it, dude. Go for it, you know. Price is right. So anyway, talk forever.
Yeah, you were friends with Darv. Why don't you share just a little bit as far as where you were before you came to Madisonville, what you thought when you kind of met the local assembly, and then, you know, just, you know.
Sure.
Where you were after that.
As best as I can recollect, is Darv and I grew up in the same town in Minnesota. And Darv is about 4 years older than I am. But we have kept in contact over the years, and, you know, he was in Tucson, Arizona, suffering greatly from rheumatoid arthritis, and him and David got on the phone together. I think Darv saw him on a public service or a public channel anyway, and they prayed, and his rheumatoid arthritis disappeared. He had been taking pain pill after pain pill after pain pill. And he said, David Elves is just, I just prayed with him over the phone. And I said, really, Darv? Because I know Darv more as a outlaw than anything else, just for lack of better terms. And I don't think Darv would be offended if I called him that. But And he told me he had a heavy warrior spirit that he's had to deal with. But, okay, so I came, girlfriend, I wasn't married, I was with this woman for 18 years, and she had cancer in the year 2000, and then I came down with it again in March of 2014, and was diagnosed as terminally ill, and had two tumors on her brain and one on her lung, and she was in hospice care.
Okay.
Man, yeah, you going to say something?
No, go ahead. Everybody, just make sure your phones are muted. Go ahead, David.
Yeah.
Okay. So I fed her 6 days a week, stayed with her until she was completely out of it. I mean, she didn't know me, anybody else. And that's when I talked to Darv, and I said, Darv, you know, it's not looking good here, and I want to come and see what UBM is about. And so then I did come maybe the late October. I think the first real get-together I was at was Thanksgiving at your place, Tim, and or as the world calls it, Thanksgiving, blessings, you know, I don't know what you want to call it. But except for a dynamite meal, and I remember that distinctly because I like to eat as much as Michael Hare does. And anyway, and that's, you know, how, and I was staying with Kurt and Darv, and it just wasn't a big enough trailer for three of us. It wasn't built for three people. And so that was kind of disconcerting. But, you know, we worked it out. And, Kurt and I had just a scary, scary time. He, you know, would come to Sunshine Mountain for the morning prayer group, and he didn't have a ride. He was getting different because it was dark, you know. And so I said, well, Kurt, you know, it's hard for me to get out of bed that early, but I'll take you. And we start out, and we go through this massive fog bank coming off of the lake there, and got around finally to Sunshine Mountain. And I ran off the road, right? One just coming out of their driveway or that long right road. And fortunately, I had four-wheel drive and got out of this rut because I got too close to the bank anyway. So we made it to Sunshine, and then we left Sunshine Mountain, and you know how steep it is, up and down, but we made it back to Wright Road, and I dropped Kurt off at the front steps of the trailer house, and then I was going to back up and then park at a 45-degree angle. That's where I left my vehicle. Well, I dropped Kurt off and put on the brake, and there was nothing. I thought, whoa, that's odd. So Darv had some brake fluid, and we filled it up again and stepped on the brake. Nothing. I thought, uh-oh. And so there was just enough for me to get out of the driveway, just enough brakes to get out of the driveway and back like I normally parked at that 45-degree angle. And, oh, man, was the Lord ever with us on that one. Can you imagine your brakes going out coming down Sunshine Mountain? So, anyway, that's basically, you know, it was shortly after that, Tim, that I left.
Okay. No, I just... because I saw such a change in you while you were here.
I felt very welcomed. I didn't feel any judgment. If there was judgment, I didn't care or whatever. But I didn't feel it, and I'm pretty sensitive about that kind of stuff. And, you know, we talked a lot about the rejection. And I don't know which, it's in David's book about unforgiveness. And I don't know if you recall, but we had quite a lively discussion about rejection. And if you recall, I thought I had been the most rejected, and Michael Levesque actually won first prize. We said, okay, Michael, you're the most rejected. Okay. I said, I'll bow out to the king of rejection. Okay, Michael.
Well,
it is awesome, Tim. It is awesome. Did you ever get that coyote?
But the Lord's been protecting the chickens. I think that was just my trial as far as that. But
right.
I got a little bit of works there and a little bit of anxiety, and you know. But there's been other stories. There's been other things that happened.
Sure.
As far as that.
My life too. Since I came back here, you know. So, I mean, we all go through stuff every day. You know.
Amen. Yeah, you just kind of reminded me, because, I mean, Darv has got an amazing, just an absolute amazing testimony where he was pretty much, I mean, from what I remember, I haven't heard that his testimony in so long.
Right.
But, I mean, he was on so many drugs, and he was,
exactly.
I mean, just totally addicted and basically housebound, couldn't leave the house.
Yep, exactly right, Tim.
And somehow the Lord led him to David, and David just shared faith with him and shared truth with him and, you know, prayed with him. And he got delivered, set free. I mean, he's got an amazing... I'll have to get him on to share that testimony sometime. I don't know if it's on the...
That would be great. That would be great. Yeah, that would be great. Now, in that same realm, I am bipolar, and I take a ton of medicine. And a lot of people go, what does that mean? You know, you're bipolar or whatever. And it's like, well, it is what it is. You know, it's like saying I got diabetes, but... if I don't get ample sleep, and that's why I was a little bit hesitant to drive Kurt over to Sunshine Mountain, and thankfully the Lord got us there and back, because if I get the least bit sleep deprived, you know, I have issues. And I was sleeping 10 hours a day when I was staying at the trailer. But... I'm down to about 8 hours or 7 hours now and feel great.
Awesome. Awesome. God is good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Amen, brother.
Well, you know, just, I mean, even that, you know, you say God in it, but, I mean, not even just Sunshine Mountain, but the whole path there and where those guys are living is just all hills and...
Exactly.
And even their driveway, if you lost brakes, you'd end up...
Exactly.
You know... I mean, they live on a pretty massive hill, so that's pretty cool. You saw how God got you there and got you back. So,
well, there's no other explanation, Tim, none whatsoever. I mean, as like I said, we were so blessed not to lose the brakes. It was a brake line brake. It broke, and I had to, you know, have it towed out to a mechanic and have them, you know, repair it. And I said, how did you have to repair it? And the guy looked at me, he said, a lot of sweat and swearing. I said, okay, that's all I need to know.
Amen. Well, thanks, Dave, for sharing that. But it's glad to hear from you, glad things are going well. And
well, and please, you know, my best and my love to everyone. And well, I'll be back. I don't know when, but I'll be back on I like talking for one thing, but just sharing what the Lord has been doing. It's just so awesome.
Amen. Well, thanks for sharing your testimony.
Well, that's the Lord and I are glad to do that.
Yeah, anytime you want to come on, and you know, that's what we do here is we just share what the Lord's doing, pray for each other, you know, revelation, dreams, whatever
the Lord's doing. I know, absolutely. This isn't the first time I've listened to your, you know.
Okay.
I didn't have the phone number, or the PIN, or anything, and you know, Kurt listens to it a lot.
Yeah, he's on tonight.
Hi, Kurt. Bless you, my friend.
I'm on.
All right. Who else has got a testimony you'd like to share? Or revelation.
Thanks, Jim.
All right. Thanks, Dave. You can go ahead and mute and turn up your praise and worship again. You're
Robin Mark.
Don't worry, I will. I've got it all figured out with my neighbors, and they're okay with it, so. Thank you.
Awesome.
Yep.
All right, bless you, man.
Yeah, be blessed, all of you.
All right, anybody else have a testimony?
Tim?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Bernie.
Hey, Bernie.
Hi. I have a short one.
Okay.
Yesterday, I was just resting on my bed, and it was about 20 after 8, and I was thinking, well, you know, I think I'll listen to the Wednesday night teaching. So I downloaded it, and I started listening, and right away David says, well, I'm going to talk about the flat earth, and that caught my attention because I'd been pretty hard into the flat earth about the last 3 days or so. And I just want to say that it was sort of like I was called to that teaching. I don't know if anybody else got anything out of it, but it really spoke and ministered to me right through it. And I learned a lot about how you can sort of be led astray. I learned so much from that teaching because I was being drawn in that direction. Not to say that it's all wrong or whatever, but I could see how it worked on my mind. And so having gone through that and
Hey, Bernie.
Bernie? Yeah?
Real quick, I haven't heard the broadcast.
Oh,
but
you haven't heard that one?
And I don't know what flat earth is, to be honest with you. Can you share what flat earth is or what the whole thing you got drawn into?
Sure. Well, David did a teaching, yesterday's teaching. Someone had sent him a video, and it's becoming a hot topic on the internet, YouTube, and whatnot, because we've been lied to by a lot of NASA and stuff. Everything, so many things have been faked and whatnot. And so there's a number of people, since there's so many things that are fake, people are saying, well, that the Earth is really flat. And some of the things that they do, you know, they take Bible verses and whatnot. And so David sort of went through the logic of some of that, but he showed how Christians shouldn't really get entangled in that, because the unbelievers or whatever would, you know, no matter if the earth, whatever the earth is, but they would see that as foolishness. And so if you started into that, then that destroys your witness, because if you're foolish, then you have no witness to the unsaved. And so he went through and a lot of the logic why some people postulate that we've been defrauded and the earth really is flat and this globe thing is just made up to mystify us and we're all being controlled. But anyway, so that's basically what it was about. But I saw how I was being led, and I used to be, probably still am, one who hates being deceived, and I sort of thought I was pretty sharp and I could point out the deception and errors and a lot of different things, and in the process of which, you know, I certainly have antagonized a lot of different people and ended up isolating myself. But so I went through that process, but it was just the timing of that thing. It was just the idea in my head. Listen to that teaching, and it was like it was right for me, and that's a huge deal. Like, it sort of ministered to me, called me out, and so now when I look at other people, if they're deceived or not, if they're wise or foolish or whatever, I think it sort of helped me going through that not to be so judgmental and sort of accepting, and I can't dismiss people any more readily, saying, well, they've been deceived or whatever, because seeing how readily it can happen, and we had just have mercy that someone would direct our paths. So that's it.
Okay. No, I didn't know that was even out there as far as...
Yeah, it's majorly out there now.
But I've seen and heard things as far as with NASA, you know, where, you know, they're showing that things have been fabricated and not really sure that we landed on the moon, and, you know, pictures that have things in the background and stuff like that. But I've never really followed much of that. but I know that. As far as, and I haven't heard the broadcast yet, but as far as the, you know, being a good witness, you know, there's a lot of things that I can see, you know, where David's coming from, because, you know, you start talking about something that's out of the norm to family or unbelievers or people you know or something like that, it can, take away from, as far as, you know, you're supposed to be a light, you're supposed to be Christ-like, you're supposed to, you know, be an example, you know, as far as of Christ, and you're talking these far-out things. And I know, you know, even when I was young in the Lord and found out the truth about holidays and, you know, blew people out with that, and, you know, just all these different things, and it was just such a blessing when I really got the grasp on being weak to the weak and not being in works. And it was just, you know, the sabbatismo, being in the rest and just praying and, you know, doing more through faith than getting into trying to, you know, because I would get into arguments or trying to convince somebody, and I'd be, you know, coming up against those religious spirits and all those things. And when I look back, I really wasn't being a very good witness. And I was causing people to get into judgment, get angry, get critical, you know, things like that. And I was basically causing them to sin. So I know we've all done it, you know, trying to convince them of the rapture or whatever it is, and
right.
You know, if they're not hungry,
once you figure you've been deceived, you sort of get on a cause, and you try to change everybody else once you've seen the light, so to speak. But anyway, and it was neat too that you mentioned about being in the rest is when Michael Hare's teaching just fit in so well, because that's what Michael taught on. He taught about being in the rest. And so that was really great too.
Awesome.
Hey, Jim?
Yes.
On that same vein, we do have chemtrails here. But not probably about a 1/32nd of what you've got. So somebody up there doesn't like Tennessee or believers or whatever you want to call it. But, boy, we haven't got them like you guys have got them.
We still have them, and I don't know what they're dropping. Just like you don't know for sure what they're dropping, but it's just amazing. I just thought of that the other day. I thought, well, we got chemtrails, but nothing like Tennessee. But anyway, that's what I was talking to about when I was kind of giving a testimony about coming back to Minnesota to tie up loose ends, make amends, all that kind of stuff. And like you say, unless you can make it palatable or understandable to your loved ones, you lose them when you talk rapture, when you talk many, many different issues. I have that issue with my sister, who is not a regular, you know, church goer. She's going to some Methodist church. I went there once, and it was okay. You know, they sang, and they had a good time. But on the way home, I was trying to tell her that, you know, they're way off base, and she didn't want to hear that. You know, people that are, what do you call it, I can't even pronounce it, apostolic.
Yeah.
Do not want to hear somebody that's speaking the truth. And that's a hard one to get around. Because you got a more non-Christians or baby Christians or whatever are sometimes easier to deal with than these apostolic who think they've got it all together and they won't listen to anything else. They won't discuss anything else. And again, all you can do is, well, you know, I'm sorry, that's your loss. I'll pray for you, brother, but or sister or whoever, but and that's hard to let go of, especially with your loved ones. You know, you want them to have what you have, to have the joy and not only the joy, but just the support and so many things the Lord can do for us and does do for us, even when we don't even ask. You know, he's just, I'm constantly amazed, and I drive down the street, and I'm constantly going, yeah, you're right, Lord. And, yeah, you're right. Man, I should have slowed down, and I didn't. And, you know, little things like that on a daily basis. The Lord is right there with you. And a lot of people don't grasp that concept, that he is with you 24/7, 365. If you have faith, if you have love, if you have, you know, and that's what blows me away, is that, man, I was trying to do this all by myself before. No wonder I'm nuts, you know. It's like, no. And the Lord, you know, as we know, from beginning to end, he knew from the beginning, and he knows to the end, and he knows right now today where he wants it. And that's a hard concept for people to wrap their head around. So that, I guess that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, that's where, you know, as you learn, I've learned to just share testimonies. And that's the only thing I can do.
And right.
I'm not going to convince them, because if I can convince them, somebody else can convince them out of it. If they're,
yeah,
if they're not hungry, if they're not hungry, if they don't want the truth, you know, me trying to force feed it and jam it down their throat and all that, you're better off just praying for them, sharing testimonies.
Yeah.
And when the Lord shakes his place.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Then they're going to come to you and want to know some truths, or, you know, or when they get into a situation.
Well, see, and that,
right, and that's why I say I feel like the Lord put me in this specific spot to do just that. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be a beacon of light and then a magnet to the truth. And that's where I'm at. And I love it. I love being the Lord's magnet. You know? I feel so honored to be the Lord's magnet. Not maggot, magnet.
Amen. So I could hear the joy and peace in you. So that's awesome to be used of the Lord. I was just saying I can hear the joy and and the peace as far as in you, so it's kind of neat.
Well, I've always had it, Tim, actually, but I wouldn't let it come out. I wouldn't embrace it.
And that's that the rejection?
Well, yeah, that's some of that rejection stuff. But, it's hard to let go of the world. It's hard to let go of the world. And, you got this, you got that. You know how, you in Indiana and stuff, right? You were from Indiana?
Ohio.
Ohio, okay. Well, you had a pretty good life. And it's hard to kind of leave some of that behind, don't you think?
Yeah,
maybe it wasn't at that point for you. I don't know.
No, I think it's hard. I mean, that's what sanctification is all about, is coming to that point where you know that the Lord's going to take care of everything. He's going to guide you, and you just want to be in His will.
Exactly.
And when you get to that point, and He just starts taking over, and you just see Him working in your life, then you kind of start letting go of the reins and control and all that.
Tim, I'm glad you put a name on it. Yeah, the sanctification. Now, that's not something I would normally come out of my mouth, but it will tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It will tomorrow, because you just explained it perfectly well, what that whole thing is about. And that's what we need, is to help each other. That's the whole body of Christ. That's what we're supposed to be all about. Is helping each other get to those, whether it's praying for each other, whether it's listening to each other, whether it's clarifying, discerning, all of those things. And we have the resources. Thanks to the Lord. He made us that way. He wants us that way. He'll help us that way. And that's a hard concept for people to wrap their head around. It's like, yeah, whatever. I hear that a lot. But it's okay. I just go about my business singing my songs. And a lot of it's Robert Marks, and it could be the Beatles. All You Need Is Love. Or We All Live in a Yellow Submarine. It don't have to be just strictly something out of a hymn book, The Lord put a whole lot of talent on this earth, and we need to utilize it to make the Lord proud of what He made.
Amen. No, that's a good point as far as the people, you try to explain to them what the freedom is running after the Lord, and because you were in bondage, and once you get out of that bondage, you see the freedom, and you try to explain that to them, and they don't get that concept.
No, it's not something you can explain. They have to see it. You're right. They have to somehow see it themselves. You can't explain that.
But the whole thing is, it starts by giving, you know, it's dying to self.
Yeah, it is. Amen.
You talk to somebody about dying to self, and they're just, they think you're nuts.
Yeah,
they don't understand the freedom of giving up self. So.
Well, right. Well, that's why you got to maybe pick your words and choose and, you know, make it, like I said, palatable or understandable. And that's where you need to be able to read people in order to reach them. And that's why I think the Lord sent me here, is I can read people. I can read people as well as I can breathe. And I don't mean that in an egotistical, but that's one of the talents the Lord gave me. I don't talk in
tongues. Because that's discernment. You know, you can discern spirits on them or insecurities or whatever it is. So you're just trying to use the discernment the Lord gave you to be able to reach out and love on people.
Exactly right. Exactly. I couldn't say it any better myself. And I, as you can tell, I love to talk. Now, that's a part of me you didn't see in Madisonville. That's a part of me you didn't see. Except for when we start talking about rejection, and I won't mention any names, but somebody kind of took over that particular session, and I was angry about that, just because that person had never had any rejection spirit, had never dealt with rejection, had never, you know, and we were trying to get to the core of it. You know, but, oh well. You know.
Amen.
You know.
All right, well, let's some others talk here.
Oh, sure. I can listen and, as well as talk. I can, I'm a good listener. I am. Really?
Amen. Okay. All right, so, all right, who else has got a testimony or revelation or anything you'd like to bring forth tonight? Anything that's on your heart?
Tim?
Yeah. Hey, Judy.
Yeah. I have a testimony of my daughter. Several weeks ago, she had lost her job before Christmas, and I prayed that the Lord would find something for her. And, well, he did. And right after New Year's, he found it, and she started work this week, so that was really an awesome thing. And the best thing is she realized it was the Lord that found her the job. That was so awesome. She called me on the phone, and she said, you know, I really think the Lord found this job for me. And I said, you do? She says, oh, yeah, because I was trying to put a thing in on another job, and I couldn't get the computer to work right because you had to do it through the computer. And she said, I tried and tried and tried and couldn't get it through. And when I got it through, I was going to go there. And then if I would have went there, I would have missed this call from the place of this job that I have. And so the Lord wasn't going to let me get that other resume into this other place so I could stay there and hear this call from the job, from this company. So she said, I think the Lord did this. And I said, well, that's great. I think he did too. And then she said, and then I have this snowball. She has to work outside. And she said, and then I have this snowmobile suit that a friend gave me, which I forgot about that. And I have that, and I have a whole bunch of things that work really great with it. She said, I'm just so happy. And I said, well, just praise the Lord and thank him. She said, I will. So I thought that was really neat, that she's the one that was thanking the Lord. So I praise the Lord for that, and I thank him very much. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, that's interesting as far as, you know, she's seeing the Lord in it, which is awesome. But when you were sharing that, I've had several situations where I was trying to do something on the computer or, you know, and it just wouldn't go through, it wouldn't happen, or I was on eBay and trying to do something, and I just couldn't get it to work. And when those things happen, see, somebody doesn't have their phone muted. So make sure everybody's got their phone muted. But if you can see the Lord in that, it's really neat. It was, and I realized, well, I shouldn't be doing this, or maybe I shouldn't be, you know, going in this direction or whatever it is. When things just aren't working, you got to kind of stop, and because he's in charge of everything, and you got to really say, is this really what I'm supposed to be doing, or is he trying to guide me in another direction? And you know, when you start seeing the Lord and everything, it's kind of neat. And I had a day today where it was like, so I'm gonna mute. I had a day today where I'm helping out this local college, and I had ordered something on Monday, and it's next day. You know, I just ordered from the main city here, and I said, can you make sure you get it in UPS today? Oh yeah, no problem. Well, that was Monday. I should have had it Tuesday, and I kind of totally forgot about it. And I was going there this morning, and this morning I got up and realized that box never came in. And so then, you know, I ended up calling them this morning, and I don't know, they had an issue, or, you know, just never got it out till yesterday. And so I never had that. And I had to run to another city, and I had to get some tanks filled for welding. And I'm working up on a, you know, fourth floor of a roof, and I ended up, you know, getting these tanks up to the roof to, you know, start welding, and I hook up these tanks, and I light the torch, and the next thing you know, the torch dies out, and here are the tanks I picked up, or, you know, that one of the tanks I picked up was empty. And, you know, dragged it up four flights up under the roof and all that, and the tank is empty. And it was like, okay. And it was just like everything. Then when I got there, you know, it was like the person that had a key to the room ended up being sick today, and they couldn't find another key in the whole place to get us into that room, so we had to drive 45 minutes to this person's house and back to get a key. And it was just like the whole day was, it was just everything that, you know, we were touching just was just like, nothing was, you know, coming together. And I just saying, Lord, I just, you know, and I just felt like he was working on my patience, because I wanted to get aggravated. And it was like, no, none of this matters. I just have to just stay in the rest. It was just trying to get me out of the rest. But the Lord was just really working on me. And this went on all day. It was just amazing. And I was working with another brother in the Lord. And I said, he was like looking at me. I'm looking at him. And it's like, man, the Lord's trying to teach us something here. And the only thing I was getting was patience. And you know, other than the place we're working at is cursed, but it was awesome. It really got us talking about the Lord and just, you know, praying and you know, got our focus not, you know, kind of not on our works, but, you know, just more on the Lord and, you know, just trying to see him and everything. So when Judy shared that, I thought, well, that's kind of a, you know, cool thing. We got to see the Lord, and it's awesome when, you know, people that aren't strong believers, or, you know, or maybe not even believers, can start giving the Lord praise in situations, you know, as far as that. So it's kind of neat. All right, anybody else have something to share? Testimony or?
Tim?
Yes. Hey, Marlon.
Yeah, I was going to share how the Lord took care of us while we were traveling.
Awesome.
We just got home from going to see our daughters in Oregon and California. And on the way out, we took Interstate 80, which goes out through Wyoming and Utah, and when we was going towards Oregon. And when we got out to Cheyenne, Wyoming, we stopped to get gas, and the lady said, well, you just won't stop here because the road's closed up ahead they get high winds there by Laramie, Wyoming. They get terrible winds, and we kept on going till we got to Cheyenne, and the trucks were just lined up all over. And when we got there, we stopped at a truck stop, and we found out that some people had been there for days because that highway had only been open like 2.5 hours at a time for several days, and some days it never even opened. And the truck driver gave us a number to call on for the highway department. And in Wyoming, you get to actually talk to a person. Most of the places, you only talk to a machine. But this was a person I talked to, and I asked her whether there was any chance of that opening up, you know, any time that day or the next or night or anything. And she said, "Well, the winds are 80 miles an hour up there right now, and it's supposed to come up tonight. So there really is no chance of the road opening." So we just prayed and commanded the wind to go down in Jesus' name, and we waited. And I don't know, later on that evening, I just felt like the Lord was saying to call that number again and check about that road. And I called, and one of the guys this time, and he said, "Well, we just opened the road. If you want to go, you better go." And so I was just, last night when Michael Hare was giving his message, I was just thinking, you know, he was saying how the Lord makes it almost impossible before he helps us. And that really did seem just impossible because there was no place else to go. The road going north out of Cheyenne was closed, and you could only go south and go around a long way through, and that would have been several hundred miles further. And it really looked impossible because, you know, they said the winds were going to come up, and there just didn't seem like much of a chance. But we knew that was the Lord, because that's how he provides for you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. So we can command the winds, and he'll provide the way. So thank you, Lord. That's a great testimony.
And
so how was your... What's that?
There was a couple other things on the way, too, on the way coming home.
Oh, go ahead and share it. Yeah, go ahead and share.
Well, we come home the south way, Interstate 80, or Interstate 70, and that comes across Colorado, and we come through the mountains, and coming down from the ski area on Sunday afternoon, and all the skiers are going home back down to Denver, and the road is just, you know, it's bumper to bumper, and they're flying down the mountain 75 miles an hour, and this car in front of us put on the blinker. We were in the left lane on the interstate, and there's no place to turn. You don't turn left off of the interstate, and there was no place to turn, so they just stopped right in the interstate, and we just, I don't know how we missed them, you know, got stopped, but we did. And finally, when we did get, you know, beside them later on, we realized it was a carload of young girls, and I suppose they didn't know how to drive on the interstate, and they just stopped. And so we knew the Lord protected us there. And then just a little further down the road, a car just caught. He never put on his blinker or anything. Just, I don't know how he missed our front bumper. He just turned over right in front of us. And again, I just immediately knew that the Lord took care of us, because there was no way that I wouldn't have hit him otherwise. So we just praise the Lord for taking care of us when we was traveling, because we know it was him.
Amen. When you say turned over, actually rolled the car?
No, turned in my lane, right? Just right.
Oh, okay.
Just right in front of me.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord, for your protection. Amen, amen, amen. All right, anybody else have something you want to brag on the Lord about, or share what's on your heart? Anything the Lord's showing you in the Word? Any dreams? Anything to...
Hey, Tim.
Yes, sir.
If you'd like, I've got something I'd like to share.
Okay, awesome.
It's agreeing with God, and what comes out of our mouth, whether it's bitter or sweet waters. And sweet waters are the you know, as you probably know, words we speak in agreement with the Word of God. And they're a blessing to the people around us. They're a healing to the nations. And they come out of our thoughts and our hearts, and they come over our tongue to become words of life. In Matthew 12 and 36, it says, "And I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." And if you see there, that word idle, it means barren or unfruitful. And it's also used over in James 2 and 20. And it states that faith apart from works is barren. And what is the fruitful work of one who believes? The most important work of one who believes, that's someone who believes what the Word of God says. That's someone who believes in the promises of Jesus. The most important work of one who believes is what they say. James chapter 2 and verse 18 says, "I by my works will show thee my faith." And there are people who say they have faith, but their work don't agree with it. That ain't real impressive to God. It doesn't save, and it ain't going to deliver you. You know, you have to remember that we have to give account in the day of judgment because of those idle and unfruitful words that don't bear the fruit of Christ in you, the hope of glory, as Colossians 1:27 said, and Matthew 12 and 37, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified." That means accounted righteous. So be careful of what you speak. "And by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Man, that ought to make us fear the Lord, because God is telling us that what we say is important to him. And he's going to hold us accountable for what our words are. And in some cases, if we're paying attention to what we're saying, as we read the scripture, we become aware that we are speaking contrary to what God says. And we got to understand that this is contrarian. It's coming out of our heart, and we need to repent for it. Watching your tongue is watching your heart, because your heart is where it's coming from. Romans chapter 3 and verse 4 says, "God forbid, yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words, and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment." It's the words that bring us into judgment. And it's righteous words that are in agreement with God. And they cause us to prevail when that judgment comes, because they justify us, right? And these things ought to make us fear the Lord and depart from that evil and go ahead and train our lips to speak as an oracle of God, right? Proverbs 18 and 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." And that can be just your death and life, or the death and life of the people around you. The tongue can bear either fruit unto death or fruit unto life. Y'all remember that now. You're either speaking death on yourself and the people around you, or you're speaking life according to the Word of God. And you're going to prove whether you love death or whether we love life. And we're going to eat the fruit of the one that we love. If you love life, you obviously are going to pay very close attention to what you say and how it comes out of your mouth. And you're going to begin to train your tongue to come into agreement with the Word of God. Listen, our minds are like a computer. They need to be programmed so that what we see on the monitor reflects that thing that is beneficial and a blessing to you and the people around you. God's saying that the monitor is the tongue, and it reflects what's inside your programming. If you say that you're a believer and everything you say is contrary to what God said, then that's a lie, isn't it? So we need to reprogram that computer so what comes out of our mouth is the Word of the Lord and is effectual in changing us and the world around us. The Bible says the tongue is like a rudder, that it's able to turn a whole body, over in James chapter 3. It's a powerful tool that God has given us, and you can either use it for good or you can use it for bad. Curses or blessings, which would you rather have? I'd rather have the blessings, praise God. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Everybody knows that we came here to die to self, didn't we? Just like the Lord Jesus did. Now, we know it's not physical, but it's spiritual. That's the death of that old man. He's got to die. And it's the death of that old tongue, too. You got to get rid of that thing, too, and start speaking like an oracle of God. And it's a destructive force, that old tongue is. And it says it burns down great forests, according to James 3:5. Romans 12:2 says, and be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We got to spend a whole lot of time in the Word of God so we can reprogram all of the Word into our hearts. And we got to put it in there often enough so it begins to overcome what's already there, right? We got to have a hard drive erase. And some people touch the Word of God only once or twice a week. That ain't putting it in your hearts and your minds enough to empower you to overcome and to bring it back into your remembrance. You got to read that Word. Get that manna every day. Get it in your heart. I know every one of you would like to know and show what the perfect will of God is in your life. It's not going to happen without renewing that mind, though. You'll never walk in perfection without the renewing of your mind. It's not... James said it's not just what the mind is, but what comes out of the mind that matters. In other words, it's not just the computer, but the monitor too. James 3:2 says, for in many things we all stumble. If any stumbleth not in word, the same is a perfect man. He's able to bridle the whole body also. And if we transform our mind, we're going to prove what the perfect will of God is in our life. We walk in the perfect will of God because we reprogram our computer. James tells us that faith without works is dead. And a lot of people worry how they're going to bridle that body or how they'll bring it under submission to the Lord. If you're worrying about that, then you don't really have the gospel down in your heart because the Lord's already taken care of that for you. All we need to do is exercise faith in what he's already done, praise God. James 3:3 says, now if we put the horse's bridle into their mouths that they may obey us, we turn about their whole body also. I don't know about y'all. I used to ride horses all the time as a young man. And it's amazing what that little bit in their mouth will do. It'll make that horse go wherever you want him to be. You've got a great big old ton and a half horse, or you got a ton horse under you, and you can control him with that bit. And God's saying the tongue will do the same thing with your life. James 3:4 says, behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by rough winds, are yet turned about by a very small rudder, whether the impulse of the steersman willeth. So the tongue also is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how much wood is kindled by how small a fire. How do you steer that vessel with the tongue? Well, we need the will to do that. The Word says, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed, in John 8. And the Lord sets us free by giving us his will. And ain't nothing can restrain God's will. He does what he wants to do in the armies of heaven and on earth. Sometimes we get frustrated because we've got a schizophrenic will. We got his will is fighting in us against our will. But if we walk by faith, he works in us both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Then, when in this way his will has overcome ours, we're free to do what we like to do. And then his will in us will steer the body with the tongue. That makes sense? When we hear ourselves speaking words that don't line up with the scriptures, we can back up and say, nope, I don't like what I just got through saying there. I ain't accepting that, Lord. Forgive me. I'm going to agree with your word. That's what you ought to be doing. Forgive me, Lord. I ain't going to do that. I'm going to back up and I'm going to speak what your word said. Romans 3 and 4 says, God forbid, yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words, and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment. Now, we're fixing to come into some judgment here. I know some of you probably in it right now and don't even know it. God is saying that the most important tool is a renewed mind speaking out of your mouth, the Word of God. And that's the powerful tool that we have. Jesus and his disciples turned the world upside down with what they said. Acts 17. And the things that they said, they commanded, and the things that they said agreed with the Word of God and brought repentance and deliverance. We got to change our mind. And we must be very careful about what we put in our computer. We ought not to be anxious for nothing, and let our prayers and requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. And Paul tells us a little bit about being at peace with what we put in our mind and what we program our computer with in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Everything that we put in our mind is still there. But as most of you know, recall is the problem. It is. It has been for me, but God's fixing it. We don't want to be polluted by the things of the world. We want to put things in our mind that will cause us to think and speak properly in agreement with the Word of God. We don't want a leaven that leavens a whole lump, do we? We don't want to fill up our minds with television, the things of the world, and the love of the world. We want to fill up our minds with the Word of God and fulfill His will, walking as a disciple of Christ. He tells us to think on the good things, not the bad news, not the conspiracies, not studying false doctrine. The gospel is the good news, isn't it? And it's the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1 and 16 says. Paul tells us that I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple unto that which is evil. In other words, stop studying the evil in the world and start studying the good stuff. Because when you sow that word of God into your heart, you know what it brings forth, don't you? It brings forth Jesus Christ. And that's why we're told to think on these things, meditate on those things. They have the power to bring forth Christ in you. And you know what Christ in you can do? It can take care of any kind of evil or any kind of enemy that you have out there. It ain't going to be a problem for you or a temptation for you anymore. That Christ within you can't be tempted with evil. It's that old man that can be tempted by evil. That's the part that's got to die. So we need to think on the good things, the things that are true, honorable, and just, and pure, and lovely, and the things of a good report. Philippians 4:9 says, the things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, we've been given a lot of good examples here, not only in Jesus, but also in Apostle Paul and the other disciples. They've gone out before us. All we got to do is look at their example. They were filled with the Word of God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God. And that's a death experience of self, but it's a resurrection experience of Jesus Christ living in each one of us. And he wants us to use our tongue to do the same thing that the tongue of his first body did. And that brought deliverance, and it brought blessings to the world, and it turned not only the body, but everything around them. In order to do that, we have to fight this warfare that we're called to fight. He tells us that this warfare is not of the flesh. 2 Corinthians 10 and 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds. And one of those weapons is, and that's, it's a real important one, that's the tongue. And when you agree with the Word of God, you are accounted righteous. And then you're entitled to all the benefits of the kingdom. All the blessings of heaven are available to you. And one of the benefits is reconciliation. And that's the exchange between you and the cross. God has taken away your sins, your sinful life, your sinful tongue, and has nailed them on the cross. And he's taken the righteousness of Jesus Christ and given it to you. And now he's given this to you as a benefit. But in order for you to receive that benefit, you got to be accounted righteous. That's why you got to speak what the Bible says about you. You were crucified with Christ, weren't you? And it's no longer you who lives, but Christ who lives in you. And you need to confess that. It don't make any difference what people think about you. Just confess it anyway. And that's what Paul taught us to believe. Apostle Paul taught us to believe that, didn't he? We don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. That's the good news. That's the gospel. And that's the power of God unto salvation. But if it don't come out of your mouth, it ain't going to work. We have to agree with the Word and refuse to say anything that's contrary to the Word. There ain't no fruit in speaking contrary to the Scriptures. That's idle words. That's idle words. So we need to watch what we say. We need to think on the things that we say. And we need to set a watch before our lips. Ask the Lord to set a watch before your lips. And then start renewing your mind. Putting the Word of God in your mind. So you won't be speaking those curses on yourself. You won't be speaking curses to the people around you. You'll be speaking blessings to them. When they start speaking a curse, well, I rebuke that. I'm a child of God, and I don't have to put up with the curse, so I'm rebuking that. That's the way you do it. You speak it out. You confess Christ before men with your tongue. And God will have you'll have a mighty walk, a miracle, miracle life with Christ when you start doing that. And he'll show you right away that that's what he wants you to do. And praise God. Okay, Tim.
Amen. That was awesome. And because it is, I mean, it's so important that we watch what, you know, comes out of our mouth, because we're either, you know, speaking blessings or we're speaking curses. And, or what the Lord has really been showing me is in my thoughts, you know, what we speak or what we think either builds up or it tears down. And, you know, so it's real important that we, you know, just, you know, take those thoughts in control, because, you know, like Michael just said, that, you know, it starts in the heart. You know, what's in our heart eventually flows over the tongue. And you know, we can have the Spirit of Christ in us, but that Spirit of Christ has got to come through our carnal brain, and that's why we've got to renew our mind. You know, we can have, you know, if we don't renew our mind, I mean, our mind kind of filters everything that's in our heart, and you know, and it's just so important that you know, we you know, because it says that, you know, the mind of the flesh is the enemy of God, but it's so important. And I see that. I see the world, they just speak the curses all the time. And there's either light or darkness. You know, we're speaking those curses, or we're bringing light in everything we bring forth. And you know, just the things we learned as kids, and what our parents said, and what our friends said, and just, you know, these little sayings and stuff like that. I just hear it all the time. Just how the world has been trained up to speak curse, and the curse themselves, it's just amazing. So, you know, the battlefield is really in our thoughts. And when our, you know, when our thoughts come in, you know, sometimes our thoughts are pulled into our emotions but basically what comes out of us are like seeds. You know, we're planting, you know, we're planting good seeds or we're planting bad seeds. You know, it's just like the word of God is a seed. I mean, the spoken word is just a seed. And as Michael said, we gotta watch what we put in through our eye gates and our ear gates and that, because that affects what comes out of our heart. You know, what are we feeding ourselves with? And you know, is it the word of God or is it the world? How about, you know, are we spending more time in the world or more time in the word of God? So, I mean, and you know, Philippians 4, you know, whatever things are true, whatever things are, you know, honorable, whatever things are just, pure, all that, I mean, that has to be the filter. And I remember Trish asked David one time, you know, asking him about discernment, that, you know, maybe give a little teaching on discernment, you know, discerning. And he said, what did he say? Love thinketh no evil. And it really hit home as far as when he shared that, because if you're discerning something or you think you're discerning something about somebody else, and it causes you to not think love, if it causes you to change how you think about that person, or it might cause you to, you know, get critical towards them or whatever it is, you know, that's really not discernment. That's really more deception. You've been deceived, you know, and because, you know, God would never, you know, cause you to sin. You know, he wouldn't give you that discernment to cause you to sin towards somebody. You know, he wants everything. Loveth thinketh no evil, as far as that. So, I mean, it's all tied together. And, you know, when it talks about, you know, the renewing of your mind, you know, we got to reprogram that mind. And I deal with it. I mean, there's times where I might have a spur under my saddle and I can, you know, my thoughts are just negative. And I know that. And I'm just, there's something that's irritating me or whatever it is. And I see it, and we can either justify it or we can stop and just say, you know, just come against it. Because if you stay in that mindset of negativity or frustration or whatever it is, it's going to set the stage for your whole day, and it's going to get you into sin, and it's just a ploy of the enemy. And you know, you're going to have to pay the consequences of it. So I've really been seeing where you know, just really trying to reprogram the mind, really trying to take those thoughts captive, you know, coming into the mind of the Lord, and, you know, is just so important. And, you know, we're just, so that was really a good word. So we just have to use that, whatever thing is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, a good report, as kind of a filter as far as for everything we think and everything we speak, as far as that, because if what's coming out of us is not pure, we need to reject it. You know, if what we're thinking is not pure, we need to cast it down. We need to reject it. If we're hearing things that aren't pure, we need to stop that input. You know, if we're, you know, whatever it is, if we're hearing gossip or whatever it is, we gotta, you know, we can't be putting that stuff in. And if it's causing us to think differently towards somebody, then that isn't building up. That's, you know, that's tearing down. And because the mind of the flesh is enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can it be. So that's why it's got to be renewed. But so that was a good word, Michael. So, all right, anybody else have anything on their heart when it comes to taking your thoughts captive and reprogramming your mind?
Hello?
Hello. Hey, Gainold.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you for that word and for just speaking on that for a few moments, because it's just something that I've been going through, you know, since we got back. And I know, I think we did kind of pray about it, you know, us going out to visit our girls. And I know the Lord was really speaking to me about, you know, I may call it discernment, but the Lord really set me straight. Now, what you were doing was judging, and it wasn't discernment, and that I should put them in His hands, and my job was just to intercede for them, and that was what I was to do. And I really thank Him for that, because otherwise my spirit was just in turmoil. You know, because it's like, you know, there's nothing I can do, and I know that there's nothing I can do. But anyway, I just thank you for that word, because it was just a confirmation of what the Lord was really speaking to me. If those thoughts, you know, if it's not love coming out, then that's not appropriate. And I just wanted to thank you for that word.
Amen, Gainold. That was a good word. Tim, you might ought to try to unmute before you talk.
Thanks, Michael.
I figured someone was probably talking while their phone was on mute.
No, I thought I was unmuted. But no, you know, sometimes, I mean, I just went through a situation where I was just in a trial, and it had to do with one of my kids, and, you know, they were looking at buying a vehicle, and they were talking to a car dealer, and I tried to get involved and help them out, and the interest rate that they were being quoted was, you know, way too high, And so I was trying to educate, you know, my kid, and I, you know, I told him, I says, you know, don't even shop for the car. You need to go out and shop. You know, if you're gonna, he knows that I preached to him to, you know, save up the money. Don't borrow money, anything like that. But he wanted to take out a loan and build interest, you know. And so I was, you know, I said, well, if you're going to do that, then you need to shop the loan. And he was looking at a certain vehicle, and you know, the interest rate he was being quoted and the interest rate that was being advertised at the local banks over the, you know, term of the loan was going to cost him an extra, you know, like $2,000 in interest, you know. So I was trying to educate him to go, you know, you need to get a local, go get pre-approved before you go out and all this stuff. And the bottom line is he went out the next day, went back to this dealership and got a vehicle. And that was, so I just had to die out to that. And I saw the vehicle, and he told me how much he was paying a month, and it was very reasonable. And I figured out by the interest rate what he you know, paid for the vehicle. And it was fair for a dealer. And I said, well, I knew it was very doable for him and that. And so I was, you know, I saw the vehicle, and it was, you know, it was a nice vehicle, and I, you know, took a ride in it, and I, you know, and it was just, it was a great vehicle. And then I assumed I knew what he paid for it, and I found out, you know, this weekend that this dealership had him basically sign over their tax return, and it was that price plus a lot more. And when I found that out, something in me, I'm just trying to take my thoughts captive and all this, and it was like, oh man, I just couldn't believe it, and I was really battling with it in my mind, and I figured, well, you know, he's got to figure it out, he's got to learn all this, and I just really realized, when you've got an idol in your heart and your flesh is in control, common sense goes out. You know, there is no common sense. There is no patience. There's nothing. When you want something, you want something, and it's just flesh is in total control. And that's, you know, what we're learning is putting to death that old man, because I mean, it just takes you over. And that's what this situation was. And, you know, he's got to learn from it and that. But, you know, so I kind of let it go. But I got up the next morning and I'm in the shower. And the next thing you know, I'm in my thoughts, I'm going into this dealership and I'm going to lay out this salesman that just took advantage of my kid. You know, I'm just having these evil thoughts, and I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I just had to sit down and just get into prayer and just pray. You know, it was like my pride was getting in the way. I was getting pulled into sin. You know, it was none of my doing. I was just trying to help my kid, and you know, but when you got an idol, so he's got to learn that. But man, it just took me over, and I had to fight this thing for a couple days. That thought kept popping up and all that. It was like, you know, when the world takes advantage of somebody you love, I was really dealing with this, but I just had to learn to just let it go. And, you know, just, I got to love them where they're at. And you want to help people, you want to educate them, you want to, you know, guide them, especially your kids and stuff like that. But if they don't want to be guided, you can't guide them. And it was, it was a tough situation, but it was really, what I was really battling was taking my thoughts in control, because they were evil thoughts, and bringing my flesh into submission. And it's like, you know, you get into the rest and you really feel like you're in a good place as far as with your, you know, staying in the rest or with your walk, and then something like that comes in and it just sideswipes you. Boom, you know? And it's just, you got to bring your thoughts into control. And I mean, I battled it for a couple of days. I would get back into the rest, and then something would just stir me up, and it was hard. But you know, I'm sure it's no different than anything else anybody else is going through. But it's just, you know, when it's coming against, you know, people you love or you care about, and you just see people taking advantage, and it's just like, oh, it's a hard thing. So, all right, anybody else have a thought? Take your mind, your thoughts, put them in submission. Amen. Well, I don't know what else to. Hello.
Hi, it's Nora.
Hey, Nora.
I had that very same situation fairly recently. Somebody asked us to babysit a parrot, a baby parrot, a very, very small baby parrot, very young. It had to be fed with a syringe few times a day and things like that. And it was supposed to be only for a few days, so the parrot came and it took over our lives and we fell in love with it. And we started making plans to not send the parrot back home, because it's really a very spoiled kid that has this parrot, and he's only 10 and he had 5 of them already, because all of them die because he doesn't take good care of them. So in the end, he stayed with us for 2 weeks. And as I say, we really, really got attached to it. He came to us in a little box covered with a towel, and we got him a proper cage, and he started talking, and he just loves Joe. He walks after him all the time, and he calls him, and he really got attached to us and we to him. And then last Saturday, they came to pick up the bird, and I was devastated. And I was so angry, because I knew these people, they don't look after him properly and all that. And I was in a real mess, and I was angry, and I was resentful, and I was thinking all this. I don't know. I wanted to punch him in the face, really. And in the end, I was so upset, and I realized that my emotions were just in a mess, and I can't think properly, and I'm in all these kinds of thoughts where I shouldn't be, and I just cried out to the Lord the whole night. I didn't really sleep, and in the end, very early the next morning, I texted a friend and I asked her just to pray for me, because this is too much. And I went to lie down, and when I got up, I just felt that the Lord changed my heart. And all that anger and resentment was gone. And I was still heart sore for the parrot, but the Lord took away all that anger and that all the bad negative thoughts. And I struggled with thinking of what's going to become of the parrot and all that kind of things. And in the end, I just turned it around, and Joe and I said to each other, we had a wonderful time and we learned a lot, and it was really awesome, and we took the nice out of it. And then Monday morning, the guy called me and said, did I want the parrot? I said, why? He said, no, the grandpa who's dishing out parrots and decided to give the little boy another parrot, and they're going to wring this one's neck. And I said, well, definitely we'll take it. So by a miracle, the parrot came back to us. And he was taken away 3 hours drive from our city. And I wanted to jump in a car and go and fetch it. And Joe said, I must just wait a bit. And the next moment, the guy says his father-in-law called him. He has business in our town. He's coming the next day. So this was... The Lord really did miracle upon miracle in my own heart to change that way of thinking and just leaving it in the Lord's hand. And it was the last thing I thought, that the Lord will give it back to us. And we are really so grateful and thankful, and we see the Lord's hand in every step of the way. And it's really been a trial for me, but the Lord has been gracious and kind, and I just praise him for it. Thank you.
Tim?
Yes. That's an amazing testimony. And that's something that we all have to get to that place of, because I see it, our emotions get attached, and our emotions is the flesh. And we're being driven by our emotions, and it's getting us into that anger, and it's getting us into that rage, and it's just we're being tossed to and fro in our emotions. And you know, just being able to see it and not want to be there, because that's where I was at. I didn't want to be there. And asking for prayer, fighting through it, giving it to the Lord, and letting it go. You know, sometimes that's the hardest thing, is letting it go. Because we kind of know the outcome. We kind of know what's going to happen. We don't want to see things like that happen to the ones we love, or to creation, or people we care about. And sometimes we just got to, you know, we're in sin because we're being driven by our emotions, and we've got to get to that point where we get our eyes on the Lord and just turn it over to Him, and whatever happens, I mean, it's in the Lord's hand, and we just have to know that. And when we can get to that place, and that's what He's looking at in all of us, is being able to get to that place where we just give it to Him. And because until we give it to Him, He can't do anything. And in this case, where He just turned the hearts of these people and, you know, worked through the, you know, the grandfather, whatever it was, to bring another parrot, I mean, and then have the put on the guy's heart to call you to see if you want it back. And, man, what an awesome testimony of pressing through and giving up. So, I mean, that's just awesome. Awesome. So I'm so glad you shared that. I mean, that's just, to me, it just really blessed me. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You are such an awesome Father. And we got a lot to learn. And we thank you for these trials. We thank you for these tests. We thank you for just working in us, Lord, to get rid of this flesh, to get rid of these emotions, to see the anger, see the sin, see what's really still in there, and so we can give it up. And we just praise you for that, Lord, because you're in control of all things. Amen. So thanks for sharing that, Nora. That was great. All right, anybody else have a thought, have a comment?
Yep, I got a short one.
Awesome.
In 2002, I believe it was, the statistics were that 250,000 people died from accidental deaths in the hospitals and from the medical profession in the United States alone. This last year, 440,000 people that they have recorded have died. That's Obamacare. So think on that one.
440,000 of
Medical accidents,
wow.
Yeah, we've seen it. You know, how many of you have seen somebody that was killed by the medical profession? My father was. And I'm sure there's a whole lot more. You know, that was back in 2000. Oh, gosh. I forget, 84. That he died.
Yeah, that's why walking in faith is so awesome. You know, just the Lord can do it, and it's free.
Well, here's the thing about it. Here's the whole thing about it, and I'm just going to share this just a little bit. When someone dies because of a mistake, you still get the bill. So they kill you and then charge you for it. Your family has to pay for it, for their mistake. And it's just crazy stuff. But that's the demonic that's loosed in the world right now. And they don't think a thing in the world about it either. It just goes over. That's pharmakia. That's witchcraft in the whole medical profession.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, pretty sad. That's why we put our trust in the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Instead of outlawing guns, they ought to outlaw doctors.
So what's the statistic of people that die because of guns compared to doctors?
That's not even in the top 10.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not even in the top 10. This is actually number 3 on the list, cancer and one heart trouble, I think it is, are 1 and 2. And then this accidental thing is coming in right under heart trouble. I believe that's the way it is. I got that from 2 sources, too. I got 2 witnesses.
Wow, that's pretty crazy as far as that. All right. Anybody else have a thought or any last thing they'd like to share?
Tim?
Yes. Hey, Claudia.
Hi. Well, I knew a dentist. I talked to him quite a bit with my mom, and he said he's changed a lot over the years. And he said what the dentists do, they drill them, fill them, kill them, and bill them. This is speaking from a dentist.
That's exactly right, Claudia.
You want me to say that over? I mean, this is, you have to think about it. They drill them, fill them, kill them, and bill them. And yeah, I think that's true. He helped my mom a lot. He helped her balance her minerals, and he really... my mom was on 11 medications, and he helped her out. And by the time he got done, she wasn't on any prescribed medication, just by balancing her minerals. So,
praise God, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was just amazing. She was in a retirement home, and the Lord really led my sister's family and our family to take her out, which is in the worldly terms, that is just crazy, because she had the insurance, she had everybody's approval to be there. But we were asking the Lord, just show us, we don't want her being there, but we don't want to take her out if that's not your will. So the Lord gave us a lot of scripture verses to take her out, so we did, and my sister took her in her home. And so we went to this dentist, and he just balanced her minerals, and when we first got her out of the home, she out of this retirement home, she couldn't even walk by herself. She was in her 80s, and she couldn't even walk. And when we balanced the minerals, the dentist did this, and God helped us so many ways, and she was. She could walk. She didn't need a walker. I mean, not that she had one, but I mean, the retirement home encouraged her to do that, and she really didn't want to, but she couldn't walk on her own because she was just, all the medications were making her, she was just so drugged. And so, it was just amazing. I mean, with all those medications, my sister and I, we looked at each other, we said, how are we ever going to do this? We had to, all this medication had to be timed, and it was just awful. And we looked at each other and we said, God told us to do this. We can do it. And so one by one, we thought, this dentist was good. And we thought, he balanced her minerals, and I'm getting sleepy. I'm losing it. Anyway, this one by one, we knew we didn't want to take her off the medication ourselves, because that would be illegal. We knew we couldn't do it, and we knew that the Lord would do it. And so and that's what happened. She would end up in the hospital, and the doctor would take her off medication. Then she'd go to the doctor, and he'd give her, he'd say, well, she really doesn't need this anymore. And so one by one, the doctor just took her off the medication as this other dentist was balancing her minerals. And so by the time she died, she wasn't on any prescribed medication. And the Lord gets the credit.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I'd shared when I had the accident with my leg, and I just stood in faith, and it was a trial, but the Lord totally healed my leg. And when I was just coming through the end of that, I went to a local hardware store, and there was a guy working there that had a real bad limp, and he saw me on the crutches, and he asked me what I did, and he says, yeah, I said, I was on crutches for a long time. And he shared that he actually just cut his leg and went in to get it stitched up and got a staph infection in the hospital. And he just went in for stitches. And that turned out to a point where he had multiple surgeries and tens of thousands of dollars. And he ends up, he's got a limp for the rest of his life because he went in to get some stitches. So,
wow.
And the Lord was just showing me that I just stood in faith for him, and because my leg was shattered and I was just standing in faith for healing, and he just took care of it. And then I ran into this guy and it was like, wow, Lord, I get it. Thanks, Claudia. That was good testimony. All right, does anybody need any last prayer or have anything else they want to share before we close out? And all right, and if anybody needs to pray or confess afterwards, just stay in the room. So, Father, we just thank you for just another awesome night of fellowship, and we just thank you for just the things you've done, as far as with Dave calling in tonight, and just how you've turned his life around. He's got the joy of the Lord, and he feels that he's a magnet for you, and just the answered prayers as far as in Judy's family, and we just praise you for all you're doing in just our lives, Lord. And we just thank you for this fellowship. We thank you for this time we come together. We thank you for just putting in us to seek you out and seek truth out. And we thank you for the grace you've given us as far as renewing our minds and bringing us to a place where we want to be sanctified of the flesh and be sanctified of the world, and to just to walk after you in faith and to just hunger after truth and just walk right before you, Lord. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the days that are coming that we can be used of you, and we thank you for the salvation of our families and what you're doing in them, and what you're doing in our relationships and our fellowships. And we just thank you that you're just an awesome Father, and we just praise you for the testimony from Nora about the parrot, and how she gave it over to you, and you brought it back. You just blessed her, and that's how you are, Lord. And we just praise you for that. And Lord, we just ask you just bless everybody's week. Just help them to stay in that narrow path, and keep their eyes on you, and we just thank you for all you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody, and we'll see you all next week, and we love you, and good night.